your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Time for another segment of KER Politics. This one is kind of fun because I can really feel, for lack of better terms, the gravity of the situation in the Ukraine and in Russia. Jimmy, let's wrap this one up and then let's go on and let's talk about the what you call the nuclear laptop. But from now on, let's talk about the possibility of the Ukrainian-Russian conflict morphing into a nuclear conflict.
Well, I don't believe that because of the signature of a nuclear weapon, because of the limited assistance that it would provide strategically for the Russian forces, that a tactical nuclear weapon would not be viable, that there's way too much risk involved in using a weapon like that. There's nothing's out of the, out of the question when you have this type of a conflict. So there's always the possibility.
Yeah.
But it would make very little sense for the Russians to take such a risk. They've got the world's largest stockpile of weapons, approximately 4,000 strategic large yield weapons, missiles that would on submarine based, air based, and land based missiles that would hit targets in the United States or anywhere around the world. But they've got roughly about 2,000 tactical nukes, and those tactical nukes have different yields, small yield, very small yield, which would be the size of a large conventional warhead maybe. But the possibility, the ability to track them, the ability to what tactical advantage it has is limited, and the risk is so high. It's so high that NATO would respond, and truthfully, the Russians are having a difficult time with the Ukrainian army. If there was an Article 5 response, the Russian government would be severely at risk at a massive response from European and U.S. NATO allies.
Yeah, so, I agree 100% on that, Jim. And let me just make sure I understand this correctly. Using what I'm going to call the smaller nuclear weapon, and I'm just doing that for simplicity's sake, you made an example in the prior segment which you said a weapon like that would probably be useful in taking out something like a tank squadron or something like that. But my question is, I don't think you really have to use any type of nuclear weapon to accomplish that, Jim.
Well, no, it'd be cover a wider area, a large infantry mass formation or a tank unit, a large formation of equipment. Yeah. However, many of these armored systems are designed to actually operate in a radioactive environment. So you'd have to destroy the weapon system. There is a possibility to use it as an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse that would shut down communications between units.
Yeah.
That, again, would create bigger problems. But the real problem is the radioactivity, the strontium, the cesium that would flow up from the atmosphere and cross borders could potentially cause tremendous damage and loss of life in NATO border countries.
Yeah, it would seem to me that the positives do not outweigh the negatives in this particular action. They don't do it at all.
It's a very high risk. In the 1950s and the early 1960s, we had a nuclear strategy called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction, that we'd blow each other up and the world would be over with, and that kept people from potentially using nuclear weapons.
Right.
That's what we'd be equating here. The escalation for a nuclear war would create that. That would be both homicidal and suicidal for a Russian government to be first use tactical nuclear weapons. And there would be no justification if they're doing it on Ukrainian soil, because in fact, it is Ukrainian soil and it's not a direct threat to the Russian integrity or their borders.
Yeah.
Now that would change if there was a vast movement into Russia for Ukrainian forces or some NATO forces, but that doesn't look likely. There's no real definition of an objective for that right now, so it doesn't appear to be.
That's very certain. It's really a shame that all of these negative factors would come out of a situation that I think that Putin felt was pretty much of a small situation. In other words, Russia would take over the Ukraine, boom, end of story, and there wouldn't be any problem. My God, Jimmy, look what it's turning into. It's turning into the biggest nightmare that Vladimir Putin has ever had in his life as a leader of Russia.
Tens of thousands of young men are dying just for no reason.
Right.
In a foreign soil. And you've got to remember this. They're fighting, okay, the whole idea that there's some Russian ethnicity along these areas in Crimea and along the eastern edge, they're fighting on foreign soil.
Yeah.
They invaded foreign country. This is not protecting the motherland like in World War II.
Yeah.
So the nationalism, and there's a lot of people that support this because they see one side of it, and they see, the fear of NATO and the fear of Western expansion into their region that's been perpetuated by the government.
Yeah.
They see that, but at the same time, this is dragging, costing them a tremendous amount of lives,
yeah,
a tremendous amount of money. It's costing them economically in the long term. It's going to cost relationships, very deep relationships. So you have to wonder what the ultimate goal and why this happened. And, we've seen historically what happened to a Russian leader, a czar, Nicholas, when he got involved in World War I and lost on foreign shores. It overturned his government, and the next few generations were absolutely catastrophic under Soviet rule.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that 100%. I think this is one of those events in history that has turned out and will culminate as a huge mistake, because there is a possibility that this could escalate into World War III. I really believe that. That would only happen if the leaders of the stronger countries, if the leaders of the world powers, and let's say the European Union, and let's say the United States, and let's say China, if all of those people decided this thing was just too much of a danger to them, to their countries, to their respective countries, they went ahead and got involved in it. That would be the worst thing in the world, Jim, that could happen, in my opinion. By the way, we're down to about 30 seconds in this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're going to see an escalation. You're going to see probably a Russian advance, a Russian offensive coming up in the next few weeks, and we'll see continuation of this violence for a long period of time,
right,
until somebody, so cooler heads prevail.
Well, I hope that happens. I've seen a lot of articles that have come on that have basically said it looks like the Russian offensive, and I'll use the word major offensive, is going to start at some point within just maybe 3 to 5 weeks. If that's the case, that could be a good thing, or that could be a really bad thing. If they took out Ukraine, which I'm not going to give an opinion on that one, I'm just going to say, if they took out the Ukraine, this particular situation would be truly under the rug. You guys, time for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.